Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast. More coverage coming your way of the Challenge USA. Again, no idea what episode we're on, but we're getting close down to the end game here. We are probably only a couple episodes away from the final. We are down one more contestant as we lose. We had a women's elimination in this episode and a lot to get into. Of course, I am Matt alongside my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how are you?
Hello, hello. I'm doing well. But did you hear that Alyssa and Angela are putting blockers on Sarah's tab and you should put your blockers on them?
No, I had not heard that. Can you tell me more?
That's shocking because I feel like everyone, you know, as Sarah made it to every single person in the world, it seemed from the montage. But no, I don't know. I'm excited to be back here. I don't know your feelings on the episode, but I guess I may as well go ahead and spoil it. I thought this was a good episode.
You don't know my feelings. Just admit on air that you have me muted on Twitter.
Well, no, I didn't watch it live, so I had to skip all the challenge tweets. Calm down.
I thought it was a fantastic episode, and I tweeted something along the lines of, if the results were different, were swapped, and it was Cachet who defeats Sarah, this is a top-tier episode of reality television from start to finish.
I agree. Yeah, this was almost so good. So I was very happy that we are back on the upswing. I feel like we had a couple down weeks, and this week was advertised as, you know, it was going to be a great, and I was skeptical, but it delivered. So very, very happy that the Challenge USA seems to be back. Hopefully that continues.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's no secret here in this episode that the star of the episode, whether, you know, however you want to view that sentiment here towards her, is Sarah Lacina, who we've been talking about for weeks, is just, you know, well, talking about forever is as long as we've been talking about her, as not our favorite person. but in the way that she's the star of this episode is just, you know, they are going all in on, you know, making fun of her, not much laughing with her, a lot of laughing at her. And again, that's exactly where I want my, like, if I'm going to be forced to watch Sarah Lacina content, that's where I want it to be, laughing at her, not with her. And I mean, that's exactly what this entire episode was up until the end, where she gets the last laugh over somebody who I really like. So that's disappointing. But, you know, as far as everything else in the episode goes, you know, her being teamed up on, her having this alliance that is like, you know, she's got like absolutely no control within, you know, she's got like some, she made some friends, like, ooh, good job. You know, no surprise that she can do that. She won a season of Survivor, whatever. But, you know, the fact that she literally had no control at the end of the day, was constantly getting bested by, you know, these other two who are just, you know, playing a better game with her allies. It's just all around delicious.
Yeah, it was so good. I'm almost wondering, like you said, with this episode being so much the story of like how Sarah failed, if that takes her out of winner contention. Not quite sure. I'm curious to see ultimately if Sarah goes on to win or lose. Like, did she do that in spite of this edit, or was this a sign of things to come? So definitely was very exciting to see a little bit more about the relationships on the show, the alliances on the show. We get the off days, the like bar nights. I feel like everything was here that we've been missing for so long. And I was so thankful.
Yeah. And, you know, there's we were like most of the way through the episode and I'm like, oh, Tyson has been got like two confessionals, but he's not, you know, Tyson's been the main character of the season to this point. And not even to say that like now he's not, like this episode still had plenty of him and Angela. You know, that's the two power, the power duo that's been, you know, focused on a lot this season. But the fact that he like pretty much had a backseat this episode, there's people, you know, David had a confessional. He was like, I was like, you know, I say this every week, like, oh, you're still here. But there were so many people that weren't involved in the, you know, what was going on this week, Enzo, Ben, whatever, that I was just like, wow, but we still got such a great episode with very few people that were actually involved. And continuing in the world of, you know, standing Angela Rummins.
Oh my god.
I'm not sure how we got here. I'm not sure where we're going. I'm not sure what to do with it. But I'm fully enjoying the ride of watching Angela and Alyssa spin Sarah in circles, and anger her to the point of her turning into the child in the same stroller that she's pushing, you know, screaming to everybody else to help me, they're being mean, guys. Like, you know, if she had her, you know, handcuffs on her and maybe other anything else that police officers carry, she would have grabbed him in a heartbeat to take, you know, full advantage of the people that were being mean to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was satisfying for me to root against someone more than for anyone, but I definitely was very satisfied to have rooting interest in One Direction in this episode. I do agree where Sarah later in the episode says basically that like the guys have been controlling most of the strategy this season, and I think that's been reflected in the edit for the most part. So I was happy to get a like episode focused on the women, mm-hmm. more so. So that was definitely more fun, and even if it's them playing badly, I'll take it.
Yeah, and to get into that, I mean, the way this episode opens up is they're all on this nice yacht, and or is it a yacht? I don't know what a yacht is. I'm just assuming that we can call that a yacht.
I'd say a boat.
A boat. What's a yacht?
It's big.
Bigger?
Yeah, definitely bigger.
Okay, I've never been on one. I mean, I've been on boats, but nobody's invited me onto like a really nice fancy boat and said, hey, this is my yacht. So
yeah,
in the future, maybe if you're out there, invite me. I probably won't go. Where were we? Yeah, so it opens up with this group of five women that are apparently playing the game together now. The Fab Five is introduced here. And have you listened to Cachet's interview? I'm sorry, it was Desi, right, who had the interview this week, mm-hmm. and explained that this alliance wasn't even a real thing.
Yeah, what do you saw? Top five, baby. Like, the comparisons immediately jumped into my head where why? On a season where you saw the downsides of doing that directly on Survivor with Sarah, is she the one to openly first on the episode say like Fab Five, like we're winning, can't wait, we're the Fab Five, like why are you doing that, there are people sitting right next to you? So a very curious move. I know Cachet is the one who then repeats it louder, but it was extremely interesting looking at the parallels there for me.
Yeah, and they, you know, make no mistakes about it to explain in this episode, Desi and Cachet both explaining, you know, none of us have talked any game with those two, especially Angela. She doesn't talk to us. She's had her people all season long, and she's been with them and not with us. And it's like, okay, so that's fine. If you just don't have any intention of even trying to play with Angela, she has no intention of trying to play with you. I mean, Angela has very clearly set up her game with Alyssa and with the guys on the other side, you know, to try to figure out something that's going to work for them. And it has worked for them, and it is working for them at this current time. So, you know, I can't really knock anything that she's doing particularly. The people that she's not working with is a group of women who, I mean, I don't know what. They, you know, Kayla's won an elimination. Justine's won an elimination. Sarah's won nothing to this point. It's, you know, it's not like they're losing out on any like allies that they need to have on their side, or, you know, so it's like I feel like they've set themselves up just fine. And the Fab Five being here, as much as I love four of the five people here, it's, you know, it's like, OK, like kind of like Alyssa says later in the episode, that's cute.
Yeah, it was funny just to see like circles being ran around them by two people. Essentially, I think that they're correct in stressing their relationships with the men in the house, because I do wonder, we can talk about it later, what the tiebreaker would have been. But if you have all of the men on your side, then presumably you'll never go in, because at least one person is there advocating for you. Mm-hmm. But so very smart play on Angela and Alyssa's part. I would be curious what they do should they win a challenge next week. And oops, we're aligned with every person in the house, but worry about that later. So, but to see the Fab Five, who Desi says on her interview, like, weren't really a thing, but as soon as it became public, like, they kind of had to be, because, you know, at that point, if people think you're working together, you may as well. And it was kind of disjointed. Like, there was not particularly strong relations between Cache and Desi, or between Justine and Cache, even, actually. Supposedly they weren't talking until very recently in terms of the filming schedule. So I think that it's not the most loyal alliance, as we saw play out, but I'm glad to see something happening and also being like, have it play out on the show.
And also, like, this group is just, like, so much, like, you know, for their convenience. Like, all of them are kind of left out of whatever else is going on. Sarah kind of getting pushed to the side by the Survivor guys and ends up, you know, with this group and whatever. And it's just very funny to me. Like, she looks so silly all episode long, but especially, like, it just made me laugh when she was like, I have to go against my friend. I was like, Cache is not your friend. I promise you. I promise you. Cache is not your friend. I don't care how much you like each other in the game. Once you get back to your life and she gets back to hers, Cache is not your friend. So that's just, you know, this group is just it's just kind of like, all right, let's gather up and you know, keep a couple people loyal. Kayla has been working with the Survivor group as well, so I'm not surprised to see her close to Desi and Sarah here. And then Justine and Cache at this point, it's just like, you know, what else really do they have going on? There's no Love Island guys left in the game, and they're just kind of there at this point. As much as I love both of them, well, one of them's not there anymore. I mean, it's fair to say, like, on the women's side, like, I mean, I'm looking at, you know, who's a contender for the win here. I think we're looking at, you know, Alyssa, Angela, and Sarah as, you know, who is it kind of like the top there. Sarah hasn't been winning much, but I still, you know, she's still Sarah Lucina, and she's got, you know, the abilities. The other three, Desi being like the one on the outside for me, that like has an outside shot, but Justine and Kayla, I just don't see it for.
Interesting. I would put Desi above Alyssa in terms of actual ability that we've seen on the show. I know, even though, like she said in her interview, that she has run a marathon, which she is not looking to be repeating anytime soon. But whereas Alyssa and Tyson had that scene where they joked about how she, like, right, biked 5 miles once. So I think I'm a little more confident in Desi's final ability. And then I would probably put, like, maybe Justine and Alyssa on a similar tier. But I don't know. I think it really could go almost any way if it were not Angela, Sarah.
Yeah. I just guess in terms of, like, story line in the show, like, Alyssa's had more than Desi. Desi had a little bit going on in the beginning of the season, and I had kind of, you know, really set some high hopes there, thinking that there could be a lot more going on. But then the past weeks in between, you know, whenever she pops up, having, you know, being a little bit more relevant to the story of the week, she's not really there. So, you know, if there is a win for Desi in the book, you know, ahead of us, I don't really know what the story that is that comes along with it, unless it's like it's just starting now, which is entirely possible. And I, of course, would love to see it, but I don't know. It's just where it's looking. And then, you know, the guys weren't relevant in this episode, so we can have that discussion. But definitely focusing on the women here.
CBS loves to wait till, like, the last three episodes for a woman's winner edit. So it's possible.
Yeah. So what else is going on in the beginning of before we get to the challenge? We have a little bit of contention. I guess this is probably going to play out in a future episode. They just keep talking about Ben versus Sarah, or not versus, but like, it's like, so are they going to work together? Like, you know, they don't know what to do with each other at this point in time. They're both kind of, their games are going in separate directions, but we know how close they are.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's been like in rumblings and interviews on the show, Ben and Sarah, who you would think are just like two peas in a pod, unbreakable. He essentially quit Survivor for her when they were competing for $2 million. So you would think that there would be nothing that could break them up here. But it seems that they are both getting increasingly frustrated with each other. Sarah saying that, like, Ben's playing like a messy game, and if he makes a messy bed, like, he has to lie in it. But I feel like Ben is playing the better game out of the two here. So that's interesting.
By far. I mean, there's not like, is this like, you know, currently Sarah's worst performance, like, in any reality show ever, the way that she's been competing?
I don't know. Just, it's tough to say because the parameters of like the game that they're playing are so different. But I think you could argue that this is the worst performance ever, because at least she had like half a good season on her first season of Survivor. But in terms of, you know, closeness to winning or most win equity in a season, I think she still has more here.
Yeah, it's there's certainly that going on. You know, she has that going for her, but just until this point, you know, where we are right now, it's just been a whole lot of mess, as both Angela and Alyssa are going to, you know, not waste any opportunity to comment on, because she's just, you know, they're like, you can, you know, qualify for the final and then come talk to us, which she has as of now, but she hadn't. She took a while to get there. And then the other thing that had been going on at the beginning here is a little bit of talk about Angela. Like, does she need the money? Can we get her out? Obviously kind of setting up that Angela could have gone into elimination had, you know, Danny not had the control that he did have over that vote. We'll get to that later. But I just thought it was funny the way that they were talking about, apparently Angela came into the house with like diamonds. Although I'm like, that doesn't even strike me as Angela, but I guess so.
Yeah, surprising. You know, production even tells them don't bring anything valuable or that you don't want to lose. But Angela decides that the diamonds, if they get lost, that's fine. She has others. Who cares? So definitely not something that I would recommend advertising when you go onto a reality show like this. I feel like, you know, try to dress it down even. But no, Angela, I guess, really made that America's Favorite Player and for Tyler work for her.
I was like, did you think she won America's Favorite Player?
No,
did
chill.
You did you watch a different version of the show?
Oh, she has a little jewelry company or something, right?
She does, yeah. So
maybe she made her own probably. And got a discount.
Look, when honestly, I go on the challenge, I'll leave my jewelry at home. I'll leave my diamonds at home. Just because, you know, we're learning these lessons as we go. Were you gonna say something?
No, you're good.
Well, that's what's going on there. I mean, it's, again, not a whole lot of love lost between the Love Island girls, Survivor girls, and Angela and Alyssa. So, you know, the way that they set themselves up last week is obviously working out very well. Danny and Dom being the two that we're going to get a lot of content here in this episode from, talking about how they do think that this alliance is worthwhile for them. Obviously, having two of the strongest women in the house on their side is definitely a good idea. And, you know, this aside from all that, the Danny and Dom of it all here is going to be how Danny still hasn't qualified yet. We're going to see that change with the challenge that takes place in this episode. He will get his money and qualify. And Dom is really trying to help him out there. So I don't know why Dom is so surprised that Danny is such a great, nice guy that he's working with, because we all, like, that's literally all that we knew from Danny's time on Survivor, is how much of a joy he was to be around and playing a game with. But okay,
I mean, in the last two episodes we've had Dom talking about both Danny and Enzo, like, or no, Ben was talking about Enzo, my bad. But just for both of them to come from a social game like Survivor and be like, for some reason I like people here, this is so weird. Like, you know, I feel like Enzo might have his faults sometimes, but like in general, like super likable people in Danny and Enzo. I feel like their social games are extremely strong. So I don't know why we're so surprised. Do you hate most people, or why is this so unusual?
I know. He's like, I've never met Danny before, but I really like him. I don't know where, what that's all about. Like, it's not that complicated. But yeah, again, Danny's going to win. And finally, I mean, we're going to see by the end of this episode, everybody's qualified for the final. So, you know, exciting news there. If you were excited for both of the final two members to qualify for the final there, I'm excited for at least one of them. But yeah, this was a different kind of challenge. I enjoyed it much more than any other challenge in a very long time, because of, you know, the you can sabotage or you cannot sabotage, and the fact that it led to lots of drama all throughout, as again a temper tantrum was thrown.
The thing is that this could play out very poorly on a season. Like, if it's all the vets versus the rookies and this challenge comes up, that is a nightmare. It absolutely is just like, all right, hand whichever vet is the best connected. I feel like there was almost something similar to this on Challenge All Stars, where they like all decided Mark would win, right? So it can go bad, but when it goes good, it's so good. And so I loved this challenge. I thought it was so fun. I think that the aspect of them like running such long distances, and like it was pretty visual, and like running up the stairs and down the stairs and up the stairs and down the stairs was interesting, even if you didn't have the blocking aspect, but the blocking made it even better. And it played out perfectly for the episode.
Yeah, that's kind of what they were saying, you know, when the Fab Five ends up, you know, not winning this one, they were like, oh, that's pretty pretty crazy that we just couldn't pull it together. Because like you like you're saying, in All Stars, in any other season, that's the kind of thing that they would put together. Like, you know, an alliance with like a Johnny Bananas or a Devin Walker, like they have figured out the plan and they will you know, successfully get whoever they need to win. And this one, it was like they probably knew what the best plan was, but they were all, I guess, going into it with the assumption that Alyssa or Angela would be trying to win, you know, right away. But no, they were instead trying to make sure that the one person that they, you know, did not trust the most, lost and went right into elimination. And, you know, I guess now is as good as time as ever, to discuss, you know, Sarah's thoughts on that versus what Angela and Alyssa were thinking. So what do you think about all of that? Was this the correct move for them? And, you know, does Sarah have anything, you know, in, you know, to her points there where she's talking about, well, maybe you shouldn't let me be the one to pick who, well, she's not going to be picking, but, you know, she is going to be automatically going in rather than having to volunteer to go in and take one of their spots.
So I'm presuming that we only have two challenges left, based on the schedule, it also seems. Two eliminations left as well. So I think we're approaching a point where it is reasonable that Sarah could actually not qualify for the final. Like, mm-hmm. We never think it's going to happen, but I feel like it was in within reach if you keep her out of that elimination. And so while I want the chance of Sarah going home, and I'm sure that many of them felt the same, I do question if it was better to be targeting someone else in the alliance.
Somebody that was maybe weaker that you could, you know, guarantee that they're going to go in, and if you go in against them, you would win?
Not even someone weaker, but just someone already qualified for the final. I mean, if you target, let's say, Desi or Justine, who I think are probably the two bigger finals threats outside of Angela and Sarah, then you can assure that they go into an elimination, Sarah stays out of an elimination and doesn't have the chance to qualify for that final. And then if one of them goes home, great, they're out and Sarah doesn't qualify. Two big threats out of the way.
Do you really believe Justine being a finals threat, or are you just trying to like keep hope alive for your team?
This is so rude. I know that you are standing Angela, but some of us have made better decisions.
I just haven't seen much from Justine. I mean, she's definitely won at least one challenge, if not two. But again, maybe just not seeing enough of her story for me to be like, I feel confident in her in a final.
Again, I'm talking from the perspective of a like in the game. So what I'm seeing on the field, I think that she is stronger in terms of the women on that side of the house.
Okay, fair. Where was I going to go? But yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, I obviously get like the very easy philosophy behind, okay, this is the person that you're against. This is the person you don't like. This is the person you don't want to win. You know, make them lose and you put them in, and maybe there's a chance that she goes home. Who knows, you know, who ends up going in against her. But also, you know, when you're looking, when Angela and Alyssa are thinking about, you know, who's going to be in on the men's side of who's going to win this one, it's pretty likely that, you know, one of their allies will win. You're going in with the four Survivor guys versus David and Enzo. So, I mean, Enzo's not winning, and David was getting close, but they must have talked about this a little bit beforehand, or at least Dominic knew the plan to make sure that David didn't win. He was getting blocked by Dominic during the challenge, and you know, as long as you know, Angela and Alyssa had one of the guys in there, they were not as worried as, you know, or they weren't worried at all, I guess, and that proved to be true because Danny was never really considering either of them as an option to go into the elimination. So at the end of the day, they were just blocking Sarah from going in, and I think that was perfectly fine for them. But I'm not thinking every single possible avenue through, I'm sure. So I don't know.
Yeah, like it's fine. I think it's the level one move. I just thought that there were options worth exploring. I don't know that they're better, but definitely worth exploring. I also question should Dom be trying to help Danny win here? Danny is definitely a threat in the final. I understand that you are like friends with him and he's so nice and he's so great, but wouldn't it be nice to have Danny volunteer for the elimination next week so that you don't have to go in potentially? So I think keeping money out of as many people's hands as possible, even if they're your allies, if you can do so discreetly, is probably a good move.
Was it David that was being like so shady towards Dom? I think that was like, yeah, he's just trying to cover up the fact that he like can't run.
Yeah, I mean, did David Alexander eat up Dom in a confessional a little bit? Maybe.
A little bit. There was so much going on here. I have like a million notes of what was going on. Where was I going? Oh, how do we get Kayla to stop standing Sarah so much? She like loves her.
I just think it's like it's an impossible task. Like I don't think that every person on this show has as strong of principles with who they are friends or standing in terms of maybe some of their beliefs. So I think that maybe a lot of these people are going to brush that off and stick with Sarah as a friend.
I mean, aside of like literally any of that, Sarah just sucks. Like,
yeah, I mean, that too.
Obviously, you know, when we get down to it in this challenge, as you know, we're opening up with in this podcast here, the beautiful editing of all of this, which didn't even seem like it took a whole lot of effort editing. It was just show all of the footage of Sarah from her camera as, you know, she quickly realizes what's happening from Alyssa and Angela, that they are trying to block her. And she says it about 400 times to every person that walks past her or runs past her. And most of them ignore her and do whatever they were going to do anyway. Enzo specifically being like, yeah, no way, yo, I'm not doing that, yo. I'm doing my own thing, yo. As far as Sarah goes, was just being the most obnoxious human being. They're trying to get me. They're trying to sabotage me. They're gonna put pieces on them. You gotta put pieces on them. It's like everybody here is like playing the game, playing the challenge. Like they're not listening to you. You're just yelling things at them as they run past you. Like, and it's not, it has nothing to do with them. It's all about, you know, protect me, help me, help me, help me. And like in that moment, all you want to do is not help a person like that. Like, unless they're, you know, like at least in this challenge situation, all I would do is be like, girl, go away. Like, get out of my face.
From what I did see leak through on my Twitter about the challenge, I did see a lot of Karen Lucina being thrown around, asking to speak to the manager in TJ. Just like so much complaining. They talked about her as coming off extremely entitled. I just think that if they weren't completely in lockdown before this challenge, how was this strategy not established? But just to be like screaming at it and like ordering every person that runs by you, while like not enjoyable to have, you know, the entire episode be dominated by Sarah's screen time, I found endlessly enjoying. I found endlessly, you know, joyful to watch her basically be ignored over and over and over. I thought it was super funny.
It would have been, again, such a beautiful episode if she went home here. If this was just, you know, let's also like just make fun of her all the way to the door. Oh my God. They went to a commercial break at one point and, you know, she's yelling, put them on Angela, put them on Angela, put them on Angela. So she gets last. That was so funny. like, thank you for that. It was great.
I really liked when she's like, block Angela, block Angela. And Cache's like, it's not going to do anything.
Like, we're so far into the challenge at that point. Like, we're kind of close to, you know, like Sarah is about to lose. And it seems pretty clear to everybody that, you know, Alyssa and Angela are not stopping until that happens. Angela and Alyssa are not winning because they've spent the entire time blocking Sarah. And Desi is, I don't know if she had won at that point or if she was almost about to win or whatever. So it's like the writing was on the field. We knew where we were going with this. And Sarah just yelling at everybody was just not getting her anywhere.
Yeah, I love when Sarah also in a confessional was like, and people just can't comprehend this. It's like, no, Sarah, they're not stupid. They just don't want to do what you want to do. Like, it's just like, there would be no other reason for them not to do this if they understood. And it's like, oh, or maybe just that you don't have them all under control. That's fine.
Yeah.
But it's what happened.
So she's just an embarrassing human being. And, you know, I really wish I had like some kind of, like, I wish that, like, this, honestly, I almost feel like she might've, like, I almost want her to go live on Instagram after the episode and just hear what she has to say about it all. But it's not, I don't think she did that. I feel like somebody went live recently. I don't know, like one of the cast members. I don't remember who it was, but
I'm unaware.
Nothing on Reddit about that?
Not that I saw. Okay. You know, I didn't see anyone summarizing a Reddit, Instagram live, but okay. I don't know. Yeah. Like I said, this challenge could have gone so poorly, but it played out in the exact right direction where even having like Alyssa and Angela in confessionals being like, this is so embarrassing for her. Like it was really funny.
Yeah. It was a tantrum. And that's, you know, sometimes what makes good reality television when it works. So, I mean, just to get, you know, again to the results, Danny is going to be the winner on the men's side. And, of course, we get our episodic Kiki shout out here, who's going to be so happy because TJ's talking to him and congratulating him on going to the final. And she's a big TJ Lavin fan. So big congrats to Danny, and Desi also gets the win here. So just an iconic pairing that certainly could not make a bad decision coming up, right?
Oh, if only. But I was standing very happy for Danny and Desi to win here. You know, I'm always going to be rooting for them. Let's just run into the final, guys. I can get behind that.
I would love it. The only other thing I have here is Tyson was annoyed because now that Danny's won, I guess he's like, well, nobody's just going to throw themselves in any, you know, going forward, like, which would have been a possibility if Danny didn't win this week or whatever. We get to next week. If he still hadn't won, Danny is going to take one of two spots in the elimination because he's going to need to get his money somehow. So,
And Tyson said, that like on his podcast that Danny is his number two in the house right now behind Angela. Like him and Danny are like 95% good. There's a tiny reason that it would make sense for Danny to get rid of Tyson because of the final threat, but he still trusts him even beyond that because he's such a straight shooter. But as much as he trusts him, he still doesn't want him in the final. Mm-hmm. So like keep the money from him. I don't care. But Dom does not see it that way.
Yeah. I'm looking at the you know, the guys left, and we talked about the women already of, you know, the contenders or whatever. And, you know, you have Tyson that still feels like he's, you know, at the top of the list there. Enzo, who's not on the list there. And, I mean, David Alexander is certainly the youngest of the group, but, you know, I don't think that'll mean a whole lot for him in any way. I think we're still looking at Tyson, Danny, or Ben being the contenders.
Yeah, the first however many episodes, episode I think through seven, outside of David, it truly was like, if you're under 30, go home for the men's.
Yeah.
It was wild to see that boot order, but still interesting. I'm trying to see, in terms of the men, I would definitely put Tyson as the number one contender, followed by Danny, and then probably Ben, honestly.
My current top three. I mean, it's as much as it's not going to be Enzo, it's not going to be Dom that wins this whole thing. So it's going to probably be one of those three guys. I mean, the only other person that would stand a shot potentially would be David, but he's completely invisible. David's not winning. Yeah. So
The edit is not there.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. But what else is going on here? We have Angela and Alyssa just, you know, very happy with themselves that they successfully pulled this off again. Sarah, you know, don't include us in your Fab Five. You see what happens. So there's that. Danny gets to shout out his dad. And yeah, just overall good things here.
Mm-hmm. I also do like Tyson being annoyed that Enzo passed him in money. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter at all, but just being competitive, that will bother you. And his little confessional saying that he likes to be the richest man in the room, which is why he only eats at cheap restaurants. Very funny. Like, more Tyson. He was missed, even though, like, this was a very good episode.
I mean, they literally had nothing to do with him this episode, but they know how you can't pass up Tyson confessionals, so we still got a couple. So that worked out well. When we get back to the house after the challenge, this is where Alyssa had that confessional about the Fab Five being so cute. And my only comment here was about how she just really must hate the fact that she's never in a majority alliance on any show. Like, ever. any experience she's had.
I'm wondering if she's considering herself in the majority alliance of the house overall, but is still left out once again here.
Yeah, well, I guess just the general sentiment of being left out of an alliance is certainly something that seems to bother Alyssa a little bit. So we get to the deliberation with the winners and the losers, and it's Danny and Desi on the couch on the left and Sarah on the right. And, you know, who do you want to go in against? And, of course, we're going to set up this whole thing where Sarah really wants to go in against Angela and Alyssa, one of the two. And, you know, she's like, oh, like, Angela has a lot of money. Alyssa has, you know, a good amount of money. But actually, I don't want to care about either of their monies. I just want to beat them. Ha, ha, ha. And Danny's like, yeah, ha, ha, ha. Sure that you come back.
Yeah, or we could throw in cachet.
Right, which all of us agree on, right? We all want to do this.
Yeah, so Danny says from the first confessional, like, this is not something I'm interested in. I'm not throwing in Angela or Alyssa, because whether they win and stay, or even if one of them goes home and the other wins next week's challenge, he's immediately in a lot of danger, and he has no interest in that being the case.
Yeah. It's the challenge in itself was fun. The setup at the beginning was fun. And now it's just continuing, like, here, like, again, not to just make this sound like the best episode of television ever, but, like, as we get into the rest of this, of, like, you know, watching Danny specifically, you know what his plan is and know what he wanted to accomplish here and know who he wanted to go in. And it's unfortunate for Desi because, it's fortunate for me as a Desi fan to see that, you know, she just thought she had this control, and it's slowly she, you know, let go more of the rope and more of the rope as the, you know, as time went on throughout the day and the evening, and just, you know, was like, okay, so Danny and I are both making this decision together. And then Danny's like, you know, pulling a little bit more towards him. And he's like, so yeah, he offers some information, which kind of gets him into a little bit of trouble with Dom, telling Desi about the alliance that she's not a part of. And, you know, that's a move in itself, or a reveal in itself. But then, you know, Desi's still kind of keeping calm, just like, you know, you would kind of expect her to in these games. She's a very level-headed person. But as it goes on, again, she just is realizing more and more that Danny is, like, planting his feet here. And the way that him and Angela and Alyssa seem to go about all of this, of, like, reassuring her that they're good. Like, Angela and Alyssa are not coming for Desi. Like, let's all just go to the final and run it together, kind of thing, must be what they're saying, and we'll figure it out. But, like, this is a good idea for you to be, you know, on board with us, because you're still going to be, she's, like, perfectly in the middle here. She's got the Fab Five on one side, who are not going to throw her in next week, and Angela and Alyssa probably promising her safety, you know, like, you know, left and right. And it ends up being in a spot where I can understand why Desi went with Danny's plan. But it's just, it's sad to see, you know, how it plays out, of her not realizing at first that she's not going to get her way, and then, like, watching as she starts to get further and further from anything that she wanted to do.
Hmm. I mean, ultimately, we've found out, like, elsewhere, that she was in a pretty tight alliance with Danny and Dom since the beginning of the season. It just wasn't worth pushing back on, but it is what it is. I don't really think that Desi and Cash were so close that this is, like, the worst move for her at all. I think, like, kind of a lateral move. It just is what it is. I don't think Desi's going to be Angela and Alyssa's number one target anyway, so seems fine. What did you think, though, of Danny's move of, like, Desi, by the way, you're in an alliance, and we just, like, forgot to tell you. We all forgot, so welcome.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's the charm of Danny. Danny McRae, there you go, folks. I mean, I don't really remember a whole lot of his Survivor game. I don't remember him being, like, exceptional or being, you know, bad or anything like that. I just, again, remember him being, like, super likable. And, you know, the game didn't end up falling in his favor. But I feel like, you know, if this is, like, a representation of how his strategy kind of goes, it's like, all right, there's room to improve here. But also, you know, he's like, well, no, I do remember, because we were kind of praising him as like the best survivor athlete, low bar there, you know, to ever play. And he definitely was showing signs of, you know, being very good at the game. It's starting to come back to me. And I'm not saying that this is showing that he's not good at the game or anything like that, but he definitely, you know, is not perfect.
Yeah, I think that it's just that he is super likable, and that's going to carry you so far. In any game like this, I did like Desi being like, well, I do understand excluding Sarah because she's a wild card. Like, if you have that perception of you in the house, like, that's a problem.
Wait, say that one more time.
Like, Desi basically is like, I understand excluding Sarah because she's a total wild card. Oh, yeah, so like, why would you tell her? It's like, that's a real problem if people are talking about you in that way. So I know that Sarah's like really, really good at making these friendships, and people will even leave the season and be like, we're going to be best friends forever. And like, spoiler alert, she'll never talk to you again. but I just, for people to then go around and being like, oh, she's a wild card, I can't give her information, that is bad.
Yeah. I just wish that Desi had a better person to be aligned with. But it's fine. So we go to the night out here, where things are going to continue to kind of rev up a little bit. We're going to see, I'll keep it on Desi for a second, because we're going to see Dom and Desi talking. And they're talking, you know, Dom at this point is, you know, definitely going with Danny's plan. That's what he wants. And I'm trying to be like, well, you know, you can beat anybody in the finals. So if it's Angela, if it's Alyssa, you know, what's the difference? Like, they're going to, you know, have your back. Like, we'll be fine. And then on the other side, you know, it's Angela and Alyssa trying to, or at least Alyssa, I think was the only one that was really involved in this conversation, trying to be like, so Sarah, like, I don't like hate you, I just like, you know, it's a game, right? And Sarah's like, fuck out of here. And it's, you know,
it's funny because we've talked a lot about how like Alyssa and Angela are in confessionals like just blatantly making fun of Sarah, and it works. And
it does.
I think it's partially who the target is, and partially that they just like have a little bit more charisma. I'm not saying that Angela is jumping off the screen either, but Sarah is just so devoid of it that, and you know, again, people in the house love her. They're like, she is fun and funny. And even Desi was like, but none of that makes the edit. Like, she is not a good character. So just for her then to be like making faces behind Alyssa's back and just being like, yeah, honey, like, I was like, okay, like, what is with you? This doesn't work at all, so stop.
I mean, I have no doubt that she can like have fun. Like, horrible crazy people have fun, but that doesn't mean that they're you should surround yourself with them. I don't know. Just people make it sound like it's such a shock that like Sarah can be a joy to be around. Like, if you're all out having a good time or like having a dance party in the middle of the house, like, sure, I'm sure she's having a great time and you're having a great time with her. Like, good for you all, but again, don't save her number in your phone when you get out of the house, please. So yeah, I mean, Sarah continues, you know, exhibiting childish behavior, as a, you know, not that I'm not saying she has to like accept whatever Alyssa's saying to her here, but you know, as soon as she walks away, she's making like faces or whatever. And she's just like, going back to the Fab Five being like, she tried to like talk to me and say like, you know, we're, you know, just, you know, it's just this and that and whatever. And she's just like, so like messy, and she's this and that, like, okay, just go get ready to face off Enzo or something. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I just I feel like from the outside, Alyssa's playing a messy game, or like was earlier this season, but seems to kind of have it locked up now. Grant, like, we didn't get to see a lot of it, but I don't know if I agree with the assessment that Alyssa's the one with the messy game here.
No. I mean, she had the messy game, with eliminating everybody in her alliance or from her show, but, she didn't do all of those directly, only like one or two of them. and now here we are, where she is, you know, with still a Big Brother person, but obviously none of the BB23ers. I'm so, you know, interested to see if there's another season of this, like, you know, how things play out. 'Cause again, this season has the charm of it where there, you know, maybe people that knew each other going into the game or whatever, but it's not, you know, there's no Tori and Anissa out here that are like, you know, going to be together all the way through. It's just like, you know, very fluid. So I have been enjoying that about this season. But
mm-hmm.
but yeah. don't know.
Yeah, I think Alyssa might have a few more targets on her if she comes back next season.
First boot.
We'll see.
Get her out of here. Where are we? I'm trying to figure out if my notes are lining up with where we, Danny and Cachet, when they talked, this was back at the house. I guess we want to go there. Did I miss anything for the night out?
I feel like the night out, I'm glad we got it. There wasn't like, I don't think there's a ton of drama here, but just at least let us see a change of scenery once in a while. So,
absolutely. Especially like to see, I was going to say to see them, dress up and look nice, but that's really just, you know, the women. They all, you know, they all get ready to go out, or most of them, and Cachet's having fun. I'm missing the, whole group of Love Island girls being all together. This is three Love Island girls eliminated back to back to back. And that's, tragic,
but so sad.
They thrive in the nights out and, you know, if it's four, then I take back everything good I said about this season. If Justine's next, I will be very upset.
Yeah, I'll cry.
Yeah. So, but this is, I guess, because the whole episode, I'm like, so is Cachet going to go in? I mean, obviously, Danny is, kind of laser set on her being the one person that he is content with going in. And it's like, okay, well, Desi has to, you know, kind of rework her whole thinking here to fit to Danny's narrative. But he didn't seem like he was even slightly willing to budge to anything else. I think a little bit of that is that he knew that this would be good for Desi as well. As far as like keeping her safe through until the final, like, you know, he knows that the girls will, you know, Angela and Alyssa will, you know, not go after Desi if, you know, they make this deal and keep them safe this week. But it's still, you know, there's definitely the factor of, but do you want them both in the final? Like Sarah did have a valid point, you know, hate to hear it or say it, but, you know, if you put Angela against Sarah, one of them goes home. That should be something that you want to do, but I don't know.
Yeah, want to do for Desi, but not for Danny.
Right, for Desi.
Yeah, for sure. So I think who knows how this final is going to be structured. The men are still very much of the idea that they could be running the final with someone, or at least like parts of it with someone. So for Desi, it's also like you're pitching to her, like you're not sending in your best friend. You're sending in someone that you have essentially no relationship with until, you know, a day and a half ago. Mm-hmm. So like, sure, we're not sending in the two people that you probably prefer, but let's have a compromise in the middle here.
Mm-hmm. Sarah's going to end up finding Danny and Desi a little bit later on, and it's just continuing to be embarrassing to be her, as she like comes up to them and gives them a fist bump. Yo, I'll send Alyssa home. I'll send her ass out of here. It's like, that's not the plan. You just look so stupid.
Well, it was just so weird. She walks up to them and like without saying anything else is basically just like, put Alyssa and I in, I send her home. Let's do this. Fist pump, walks away. Like, when was that going to work?
As if it was, I mean, like, would that have even worked on David Alexander? I don't think so.
No, not even close. I just feel like, I don't know. How did Sarah do three seasons of Survivor and come away with it that she should, like, be barking orders at people here?
Where did this come from? Like if she had like a smile on her face and did it in like a joking manner, like that could have even won her a couple of points. And maybe you hope that like the two of them are then like, all right, let's just, you know, let's just give her, Alyssa. But it was just like, you know, very like, you know, oh, this is the plan, right guys? Like wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And it was just so stupid, but, that's what's happening. I mean, it's last ditch efforts. You know, we see the Fab Five gathering up a little bit before the elimination, talking about like, well, like, how do we do this? Like, how do we figure it out? And it's like, none of you have a chance of, you know, changing what's about to happen here. Danny has locked it in. Desi is all but locked in. And, you know, I say locked in, even though we see a whole montage here of like, oh, there's still time left to go. Like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I imagine that was just from like Desi, you know, having last minute doubts or whatever. But Danny, again, was not budging. And as long as Desi wasn't going to fully object and say, I'm not doing this, as you said, maybe there's a tiebreaker. It seemed like this is where we were going. And everybody else just had to catch up and realizing that.
So what do you think that tiebreaker would have been, could have been?
I think the tiebreaker is Desi goes in.
I feel like that's the case. And what that means, though, essentially, is just like the men will always decide on Women's Day, and women will always decide on Men's Day, because they have no incentive then to like give in. So they can literally demand anyone they want.
Yeah.
And so I don't love that. If that's the tiebreaker, I feel like it's a little broken.
It just feels like that definitely is. Like we you know, think back to a couple of seasons ago, Amanda and Zach like can't decide. All right, you're both going in. This is a little different because it's only one, you know, one side that's going into elimination. So it does feel like it would have been like, all right, well, if you guys can't decide, then you are the ones that go in. And since it's a women's elimination day, Desi, that means you. So you either do what Danny says or you go in. Yeah. So like you said, it definitely feels broken.
I feel like that's probably the case, but I don't like it. If we were doing like a men's and women's elimination episode every week, like elimination like round every week, I think that would be better. Where like if you can't agree on either of these, like even if you agree on the men's and you can't agree on the women's, like you're both going in. So like you got to agree on both. I think that would be a lot better, but I don't know that the challenge is always fair either.
I mean, I guess second option is maybe they say if you guys can't decide, Sarah decides who she's going against.
Yeah, like, I don't know, maybe out of like the two options. But I feel like that's weird. Why would you give the challenge loser the tie-breaking vote?
Because
like,
if the winners can't decide.
Yeah, like go to a house vote maybe. But I don't think that's going to happen either. Like flip a coin.
Yeah,
I would rather that personally.
Yeah. But they do decide together. They're going to end up picking Cachet, which, you know, Cachet seemed certainly upset. And she said, you know, in her, she's talking in her confessional saying she hates being underestimated and all that stuff. And regardless of when that was cut and whatever, but, you know, she didn't seem the most excited or thrilled to be going in here, going against Sarah, who, you know, Sarah says, I want to go against my friend. Again, you're not friends. Also loved TJ bringing Sarah out to the saying something along the lines of the one woman couldn't get it done today at the challenge. Sarah, come on out. And I'm like, oh my God, she's seething in the back. Like
the only woman not qualified for the final, biggest loser in the house.
Totally sucks at everything that we did today. She is awful at this game. She sucked today. She sucks every day. Sarah Lacina.
Oh, yeah, not, you know, the most flattering entrance, but I wonder, had Sarah gone home this week, if TJ would have like hoped to see you in the future, or if it's so, like we haven't seen anything out of you, go home, Sarah Lacina.
Yeah, I didn't even catch this on the rewatch or on the first watch, but Jofo said that the Cachet got to see you in the future, and he said, was it the first one? I don't remember.
Yeah, he did say hope to see you in the future. I don't think that he gave it. I mean, Leo did not come out to get one from the what we saw. He didn't. So I think that do think that Kylan and Kira got one, but I wouldn't bet my life on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely awkward to say to like pairings as they go, because like you're not going to say to like, okay, looking for a good example here. Okay, maybe another no good examples here.
I
was looking for like a dud, you know, like, okay, Tiffany and Catchell. Like,
rude. I knew you were going to, and I don't like it.
Tiffany, I hope to see you in the future. Catchell, what's your name again? Like,
oh my God.
Sorry. I mean, who else?
I like Derek X, but what did he do this season? so who knows?
He was bowing out gracefully to go play The Amazing Race.
Yeah, so whatever. Rude to Cashel, but no, probably is the one.
Not that, rude to Cashel, that he's getting name checked in, you know, whatever episode 9 of this season's podcast when he's been gone for weeks. So, yeah, again, Cachet is going to be the one that goes in. This elimination, it's, I think it was called In a Roll. You're spinning in a hamster wheel, and you got to get the, you know, as much of the rope around your wheel, which ultimately pulls a weight, and, you know, the first person to do that is going to be the winner. Do you think, of course, we're going to see that Cachet does not win this. Do you think that Angela or Alyssa had a chance in this against Sarah?
Sure, I think Cachet had a chance. If she like understood, did you immediately know how to roll that wheel, or do you think you might have had a chance of like flailing around like Cachet?
Unless I wasn't paying attention, wasn't it just like any other wheel? No,
was it? So it was heavy. So you were like, Cachet was like, hamsters run on a wheel and it moves, but like because it's heavy, you got to actually like push against the bar and like push it back with your feet. And so we saw her running in place, which was so funny. Like if it didn't mean that she was going home, I would have fell on the floor laughing. It was so funny. So that was definitely very comical. Wish it had maybe been the reverse, but yeah, I think if Cache had like understood that you needed to push the wheel to start it, that she would have stood a chance, let alone Angela or Alyssa.
Right. Well, yeah, comedy aside, unfortunately, you know, once Cache loses that first round and probably any kind of potential confidence or anything that she could beat Sarah, you know, here tonight in that moment, probably just was drained of all of that and ends up going out in, you know, two rounds, best of three kind of series there. So, you know, Sarah's going to win this one. And, you know, there was a chance that, you know, if there was a chance that she didn't win, you know, Tyson's the one giving confessionals being like, it would be really awesome if she lost to somebody she's like confident she could beat, which again would have made this a truly perfect episode. But it is what it is. I also really enjoyed Desi commentating about the slapstick comedy, black and white kind of vibe that this was giving off, and editors having a very fun moment with that as well. So that was also good.
Yeah, just so funny. But it happens, unfortunately, for Cache. Definitely struggles in that first round. I feel like it looked like she was literally three steps behind, and could have won that second round. And then who knows when it goes to a third. But definitely unfortunate. I am curious, do you think for the story and then also for your preference, would it have been better had Sarah gone against Angela here?
It would have been a big moment, you know, to see them clashing. But what seems more likely is that they'll be in the final together, and they'll have their moment there of whatever happens between the two of them. Sarah not going home here now has the money. Like, no one's going to want to face her, and I doubt she's losing a challenge again. I mean, unless there's more sabotage kind of things coming. So I feel like that's just kind of where it's going to play out. And I don't remember if someone said it. Maybe Danny or somebody was talking about it, saying that like Cache like going out before the final or not winning the season just kind of felt inevitable. And, you know, so I don't know, that's just kind of where I was at of like, I didn't think Cache stood, you know, a shot to really win this thing. So, you know, going out before the final, you know, she made it pretty far, and, you know, I'm definitely proud of what she pulled off in the season. And it seemed like she was doing really good things with the social game, and perfectly fine, you know, as far as you would expect of somebody who has never played in one of these games before to do strategically. You know, she talked about, you know, not wanting this to be the Cache and Cinco story. She wants to be known for more than that. And I definitely think she, you know, showed a lot. So I'm hoping to see her back. Did I veer far away from your question? I did.
Yeah, but that's fine.
Okay.
I'm still curious to see if we get the Love Island people back, but I think it would be a mistake to drop them.
I mean, even if they don't do a Challenge USA, well, it's again the Challenge USA, not CBS, so
sure,
it can be from,
but like, I don't think they want to do free advertising elsewhere, but maybe just like call them Challenge contestants, like they were the fresh meat. But so maybe that's
yeah, I mean, they may not bring over anybody from Love Island 4, which I still haven't watched, so you'll have to tell me if there's anybody they should bring over, but maybe they will. Maybe, I don't know. If it's, again, it's USA branded, it's not just CBS, so mm-hmm. I could see it potentially happening if they it's the Challenge. They bring in anybody from anywhere, so at the end of the
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
So
We will see. But definitely would like to see Cache again.
Yep. And I feel pretty good that we will, wherever it is, in some way, shape, or form. So that is the elimination there. Sarah qualifies, and Danny in confessionals like, you're welcome, which at the end of the day, like, you know, they're still allies from the survivor of it all, and he gave her a easier opponent to beat, you know, no offense to Cache, than whatever, than, you know, Angela. So it's you know, it's not like Sarah's going back to the house being like, thank you. Temper tantrum aside, Sarah going to the final. I mean, she'll just more temper tantrums on the way, I'm sure. So
I do wish we got Sarah versus Angela. I think the better storyline is how it went. I think that makes for like the better episode. I think it's a self-contained storyline. To watch the Fab Five just like fall in one episode is very funny. It's like super satisfying. as a season arc and like just as watching the show in general, I think that Sarah versus Angela would have been better, but also selfishly, because no bad outcomes.
Yeah. So I kind of want to look at, you know, before we get out of here, a couple of these, like, or maybe I just want to specifically start with Desi, like, final thoughts on like how Desi played this week and, this decision and where she's at, you know, coming out of this. She had a big shot with, you know, power here. And maybe, you know, as we talked about, if the tiebreaker was what we think it is, maybe she didn't have a choice. Maybe they knew that, who knows? But I don't know, just final thoughts on Desi here.
I have no complaints about how Desi played this week, to be honest. Especially, like you said, if we can make our best educated guess as to what the tiebreaker would be, I think that she could find herself in danger potentially, despite winning the challenge. Mm-hmm. So I feel like all Desi needs to do is get to the final. It'd be nice to take out some big threats along the way. But if that's not going to happen, then don't make any waves. And I think that's what happened here.
Right. That's what she said. You know, literally word for word that she wanted to not do, you know, make.
Yes, I was quoting.
Right.
No, so, kidding.
Literally yeah. said that. So yeah.
Don't rustle any feathers.
Right. Cause Tyson's there and that's what his job is to do. Mm-hmm. Enzo, was it a good decision? I'm just kidding. He wasn't even here. I don't know. I guess that's about it for this week. I don't see anything else in my notes that I really wanted to go over. So we're down to the final 12. It'll be very interesting to see how the rest of this plays out with Survivor Alliance going on, the Fab Four, the crossover group. See how it all shakes out. Next week's gonna be a men's elimination.
Well, I've actually seen some rumblings of the finale being on the 14th with a 2-hour finale. So are we getting a men's elimination and then a women's elimination and the final on the 14th? Or are we doubling up on the eliminations next week and then it's a 2-hour final? I don't know.
Couldn't tell you. But
so I don't know if that 14th is even accurate. It's just the first I've seen of any finale dates. I feel like these reality TV shows do not announce their finales anymore, and it is a problem.
I wouldn't mind if that was coming up soon, because as much as I'm enjoying the season, I also this is going to be rich for me to say, I would like a break after I just had like 3 weeks off, but would like a break just from challenge content, because, you know, you got to give a couple weeks off to like feel like you miss it again. And like my biggest fear is that as soon as this one's done, they're going to be like season 38, ready, 38, 39, whatever season just filmed is ready to go. And I'm going to be sad because, again, I like a little bit of a break. So that's just how I'm feeling.
Knock on wood, the fact that we haven't even seen a teaser makes me think that we'll have at least a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's like impossible to predict their schedule because they never do any kind of consistent, you know, it's just like, all right, whenever they're ready, they're ready, and they start airing it, and that's that. Like, whenever promotion starts, it's usually like a month out from then, and obviously, like you said, no teaser, no nothing yet, but I don't feel like we're very far off from it. I feel like especially by the time that this one ends, we'll see something. So if that's in 2 weeks, maybe, you know, I could see it being like in early November, if not late October kind of start, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. That's what I would predict as well.
So even like 2-3 weeks off would be just a little bit of a reset. All right. That's all I got.
That is all I have as well, I guess. Nothing in the way of social media or elsewhere going on, so just a couple more episodes left. Excited to see how this finishes out.
All right, well, I got nowhere else that you can find me at the moment besides on Twitter at Matt Ligori, so find me there. Let's chat, let's talk about the challenge. Not really, we don't talk about the challenge, we could just, you know, let's all podcast together. Everybody come on the podcast and we'll all talk about the challenge on here.
Whoa.
We'll have a Zoom call and do a 40 person podcast. 40 people listening to this, that's funny. What are you up to?
I am on Twitter at Brian_Scally. I just tentatively finished Love Island, assuming that the reunion is you know, not too exciting as we predicted. So finished that. If you need to catch up, Love Island is very, very fun on a binge, as Ligori knows. So if you want to check out the podcast along with that, that's a ton of fun. I recently, just last night, jumped on the Big Brother podcast over on RHAP. That was a heavier episode, so did do that. And then we'll be jumping on with Rob and Jenny over on RHAP to talk about Claim to Fame this next upcoming week. So that should be a ton of fun. And then, you know, on Twitter, like I said.
Should we do like some kind of like live poll here where you tell me which show I should start with as soon as I, you know, find myself back in free time in a couple of days? We're like less than a week away from that for me, which is, you know, pretty huge. I have Claim to Fame on the list. I have Love Island on the list. I have every show that has aired of this. I have Survivor South Africa on the list, even though I was spoiled on the winner because people don't use hashtags. I mean, I probably would have found out anyway, but yeah, people don't use hashtags.
Yeah, same. Day of, no chill, anybody.
Yeah, I remember like I saw a tweet that had the person tagged, and I, you know, it felt a little weird to just be seeing around whatever. and then like more tweets kept coming in with like that person's name, and I was like, oh, okay. Did not expect that I was not going to get spoiled, but it's fine.
Yeah, disappointed. I have also been spoiled and plan on watching in the future, but I'm sure that we can, you know, in the last few weeks, come up with a list of shows for you to be watching.
I have the list. It's just a matter of where to start and, you know, how to get through it all. So that's where I'll be. I'll keep everybody posted on wherever I land. I mean, I imagine next Tuesday or Wednesday I'll be getting my beginnings there. So by the time we talk next, I'll have started something. Okay, that's it for today. Thank you guys for checking this one out. Again, follow us on Twitter and let us know your thoughts. Let us know if you enjoyed this episode like we did or if we're crazy. It could be one or the other. Remember to block Angela and Alyssa with your circles because if you don't, Sarah Lucina will wake you up at night screaming in your ear to do so. So just get ahead of that one.
Oh no.
And make sure that you know you're protecting yourself from the danger of reality TV contestants. Thank you guys for checking this one out. We will catch you next week. Until then, take care, everybody.